It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. An investigative series by the nonprofit newsroom Civil Eats examines why federal workplace safety protections do not apply to small farms and implications for laborers doing difficult and potentially dangerous work on Wisconsin farms. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Christina Cook is an associate editor at Civil Eats, one of the authors of a five-part series called Injured and Invisible. Christina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Your investigation found policies under OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, leaves 96% of farms nationwide that hire workers with improper supervision. Why are federal protections limited?
Well, it's a long-standing issue. There was, back in 1976, only a few years after the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the organization charged with protecting workers, was formed. There was a rider attached to its budget that prohibits the government from oversight, from overseeing facilities, animal agriculture operations that have 10 or fewer non-family employees. And so because of this, you know, as you said, 96% of the animal agriculture operations that hire workers in the country, have 10 or fewer workers and, do not have oversight from the government. So if a person is injured or killed on a small farm, federal OSHA is prohibited from investigating.
Can you explain a little bit further, like, what is a budget rider, what that means?
Sure. Yeah. This budget rider, it accompanies the funds that are allocated for OSHA every year. And so it's just kind of written instructions from Congress of how they can spend that money. And so it's been attached every year since 1976. It's just kind of automatically getting passed through every single year. And it prohibits the government from spending, the federal government from spending federal funds to investigate these operations.
That seems like a long time. I mean, we're talking over 40, nearly 50 years now that this has been the case. Has it ever been looked at, or what is driving this type of non-oversight of farms that have 10 or fewer employees?
Well, it was originally attached as an attempt to protect small family farms from onerous government, what was seen as onerous government oversight. Mm. But agriculture has changed incredibly over the last few decades. And it's become very more factory-like. Farms have grown. More than 90% of agricultural animals in the country are raised mostly indoors in these facilities called concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, which typically house like thousands of animals in the same place. So they've become much more crowded, more automated. And because of that automation, just a few workers can often maintain a lot of animals at once. Though the industry has changed a lot, and become more industrial, the rider is upheld by, and supported by the agriculture lobby, organizations like the American Farm Bureau Federation and the meat companies like Tyson and Perdue and industry trade groups, they generally do not support the, regulation, and they have very deep pockets because the industry has become consolidated so much. So they just have a lot of money to spend on lobbying for no increase in regulation, basically.
So a lot of power there in that lobby. You reported 85% of worker deaths in the animal farming industry went unreported to federal regulators from 2011 to 2020. How did you arrive at this number for an unreported figure?
Yes, that was tricky. So we used the only numbers that we had available for that. So The Bureau of Labor Statistics also calculates and collects reports of worker deaths, though it is a slightly different category. They also include like the farmers themselves or family members. And they had 1,000 people died at animal agriculture operations during that decade, according to BLS numbers, which are slightly broader, admittedly, but OSHA only recorded 149 deaths during that same decade, which just leaves 85% of the deaths during that decade unaccounted for. Yes,
And
so
that's
that was where we came to
how
that
you came to
85%.
it. Yes. So part of your series, it follows Lazaro Alvarez Andrade, who immigrated from Mexico City to a farm in New York in a decade ago. Lazaro was attacked by a bull that September, almost lost an eye. Can you tell us what happened in this story?
Sure. Yeah. So it was a rainy September morning when he was leading the cows into the milking parlor, and a bull that he was not even aware was on the property charged him, knocked him over, and he sat. The farmer was there, was able to pull the bull off of him, and the farmer led him over. He sat bleeding for a couple hours while the farmer finished milking the 80 cows in the herd, and then his wife drove Lazaro to the hospital. And he found out that he almost lost his vision. He broke two ribs, cracked two teeth, had trouble talking, trouble moving. And a couple weeks after that incident, the farmer fired him for not being healthy enough to work. And so Lazaro pursued workers' compensation, contacted an advocate from the Worker Center of Central New York, and she reached out to OSHA to try to get them to come investigate the situation. And OSHA said that because that farm did not have 10 workers, they were not allowed on the property, so the incident could not be investigated. And that just meant that, Lazaro, in trying to pursue some compensation and some help, had no one backing up his side of the story. Without an OSHA investigation, he was just at this huge huge disadvantage in trying to advocate for himself. And it also meant that nobody checked up on the working conditions of the farm or required them to fix anything that was wrong and may have been leading to that type of injury. And so things just continued as they had been.
Does that mean that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration is also barred from checking for things before injuries or deaths occur, like responding to worker complaints about unsafe conditions?
Yes, this rider means that if you are on a farm with 10 or fewer workers and you don't have a temporary labor camp, it means that OSHA is not allowed to monitor your farm, respond to worker complaints, just has no jurisdiction at all.
Christina Cook, associate editor at Civil Eats, as we unpack its investigations on gaps in workplace safety oversight on small farms in Wisconsin, around the nation as well. You can join the discussion, call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into a lack of federal workplace safety protections on small farms with 10 or fewer non-family employees and the rights of Wisconsin farm workers when injuries and deaths are not investigated. Call in with a question, share a comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Christina Cook is with us, associate editor at Civil Eats, and worked on its series called Injured and Invisible. Christina, there was the ProPublica investigation found that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has attempted to inspect fewer than a dozen dairy farms in Wisconsin each year. What do regulators know from inspections and, you know, even from few inspections about the working conditions at farms?
Well, I looked through as part of this investigation, all the records of fatalities and injuries that have happened that have been reported. So these would be on the larger farms. And I found that since 2003, there have been at least 13 people who have drowned or asphyxiated in the manure pits that store the animal waste on dairies. That's nationwide. Oftentimes working with large animals, the workers are attacked or gored or trampled by cows or bulls. Crushing injuries happen commonly. There's a lot of heavy machinery work, so workers are frequently entangled in rotating equipment or crushed or run over by heavy machinery. Grain bins and silos and piles of hay also cause suffocation. And then there's the workers getting injected with vaccines accidentally or accidentally drinking unmarked chemicals. So those are the types of things that I was seeing repeatedly in that, and among the reports.
Earlier, you talked about CAFOs in this issue, the concentrated animal feeding operations, these large farms. And the structure of large animal farms can protect farms from liability with labor issues. Can you explain a little bit further about what those protections are or what that means?
Sure. So, yes. So the agriculture industry, the big ag, has succeeded in structuring itself so that it diffuses risk and minimizes liability and externalizes the impacts of the operations. And in part, the structure of many of these operations allows them to take advantage of the small farm exemption and avoid OSHA oversight. So there's in poultry, there's vertical integration is very common, where meat processors like Tyson or Purdue or integrators contract with independent farmers to grow their animals. And then the farmers then hire laborers needed to manage the animals. And then that distances the corporation from the people doing the work and often enables the individual farms to fall below that 10 worker threshold. There's another corporate structure that we learned about. It's called the folding corporate model. The Illinois-based Carthage Management System, a top pork producer in this country, is an example of that. It's designed to shield the investors from responsibility and blame and minimize the financial risk. So rather than farmers, a bunch of management and service firms funded by investors come together to fund and run these CAFOs. So in the case of Carthage, different LLCs are in charge of different aspects within the business. Professional swine management hires and manages the laborers. Other LLCs own the land. Another one owns the hogs. Another one conducts animal research. And so because of this, it's impossible to decipher who the investors are, who's responsible. And so if workers or community members want to protest or sue over pollution or labor practices, concerns about that, it's just hard to identify, who is responsible to hold them accountable.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin is among 14 states with laws guaranteeing collective bargaining rights for farm workers. How effective are state protections that you have looked into?
Well, so federally, there is not much protection built in for farm workers at all. The National Labor Relations Act, enacted in 1935 as part of the New Deal, enables workers to collectively bargain, but it specifically exempts farm workers. As you said, Wisconsin is one of 14 states that has passed legislation guaranteeing collective bargaining rights for farm workers. In the states that are stepping up and kind of increasing the protections for farm workers above the federal standard, workers are seeing some relief and some protection in those states.
It seemed like the organization Milk with Dignity had made some headway on standards for wages and safety and housing. Is that a particular organization that is making some gains?
Yes, Milk with Dignity. So in addition to states kind of passing additional protections, there are a few, Milk with Dignity being the primary one, labor-driven programs. So this sets worker, it's in the Northeast. It's established by the Vermont-based nonprofit Migrant Justice. And it's a program where the workers themselves develop the standards that they felt were fair for wages and safety and housing and scheduling. And then so when dairy farms that sign on to this can receive a premium for the milk that they produce in exchange for complying with this farm worker developed code of conduct. And Ben and Jerry's was the first buyer to sign on in 2014, though it took a lot of pressure to get them to sign on. And so at this point, 100% of their Northeast dairy supply chain is sourced from farms that are abiding by these Milk with Dignity standards.
Talking with Christina Cook of Civil Eats about animal farms, and you can join in 800-642-1234. Christina, looking at Occupational Safety and Health Administration, your articles mention understaffed, underfunded. Would the agency be effective at investigating farm worker deaths if it had the resources?
Yes. So OSHA is a comparatively very, very weak agency. It was created especially for agriculture, while there are hundreds of standards to protect workers in industries like construction, there's just a handful protecting workers in agriculture. And its budget is tiny compared to other agencies like the EPA. It's constantly under attack. There was a bill introduced this session to abolish the agency completely. So it is it does struggle to complete its mission. However, I think, I talked with a former OSHA employee who felt if this rider were removed and OSHA were allowed to inspect smaller farms, that he believes that most people, want to abide by it and follow the law. So if you put a regulation in place, people are going to do their best to abide by it. And he believes that if you eliminate the rider, even without increasing funding to hire more inspectors, it will have a positive effect. It would be greater if there were more standards.
Sure. Christina, thank you for joining us. Christina Cook, Associate Editor at Civil Eats. We have a link to its series at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back.